Is it recording?
Yep, it's recording. I introduced it. Should say that again, though, because we were all kind of talking over each other.
Yes, this is the Dragon Slayer's Fiasco module by Logan Bonner. Luckily, he has that extra N there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And our players tonight, I am Alex. To my right is Ryan. And directly across from me is Chris.
I'm waving.
Chris is waving. Why don't we start with Chris? I feel like that's the best character to introduce
probably.
First.
All right. I have Hanzelbar the Fallen, Lord of Souls, Conqueror of Death, who was robbed of the gold medal in Gorg's 32nd Annual Dragon Slaying and Chili Cook-Off Contest. Gorg is tall and impossibly thin.
Gorg is a place.
Yeah, Gorg is a place.
Hanzelbar is tall and impossibly thin with milky white eyes. He wears a black robe with a red trim. He has a staff that he walks with. It has a human head on top, a human skull on top, but the skull also has the horns of a ram and fangs and rubies for eyes. That's as far as I got with that.
Okay, I'm going to be playing Anethema the Wicked. She's former Dark Princess Pro Tem of the Order of Fallen Magi. She's a dark mage who created the Order of the Fallen Magi with the explicit purpose of transforming herself into an immortal lich. And she recruited anyone who was stupid enough and ruthless enough to follow her in this mission. her evil plans came to a head at the 33rd annual Gorg Dragon Slaying Contest and Chili Cook-Off Competition, when the town filled with spectators from all around, she planned to sacrifice everyone in the town, along with all of her followers, in order to transform herself into a lich. However, Hanzelbar foiled her plans by informing her followers that they were going to be sacrificed as well. So the Order switched sides, fought against me with Hanzelbar, and in the ensuing melee, the dragons were released and slaughtered everyone in town anyway. So it was sort of a pyrrhic victory for Hanzelbar because everyone in town that he had been trying to protect died anyway. Which leads us to the creation of Alex's character.
I am Mitch, the horrible flesh golem created from the leftover body parts of the villagers of Gorg and other assorted places. He is like an 8-foot-tall, hulking mass of rotting, seething flesh covered by a thin burlap sack, just so people don't have to see what's going on underneath there. Mitch is rather quiet and doesn't have much to say for himself, but he does have faces that stick out of the burlap sack and voices opinions for him. There is Ernesto, who is the smartest of the bunch, but had his mouth sewn shut because he would mouth off too much. And then there's also Doganza the Wench, Lucas the Warrior, Silvestri von Sasselgruber, the town drunk, and Dave. And Mitch hates Hanzelbar and Anathema for creating him, and really wishes he could kill them, but he can't because of the blood ritual that created him and bound him to the both of them. But he hopes to one day figure out a way to overt that. And he also occasionally has to be refreshed with new body parts.
We call it chumming.
Yes, every morning.
We have to give...
We throw a bucket of organs onto him. You know, chum, like they feed sharks.
I don't think every morning, maybe once a week.
We just open the bag and pour it in.
I think we just spray it. I would think we just take the bucket and go, phew.
No,
and
I would
just
I
get
would
sucked
think,
in through the burrow.
I would think Mitch would just take the bucket and like swallow it.
Yeah. Or even worse, we have to feed the faces.
Give me some more, darling!
We just fill up a tub with entrails and you sit in it and your faces eat it.
Oh, this is awful.
I kind of like the Mitch, like the big burlap sack. I kind of picture him almost like the boogeyman from Nightmare Before Christmas.
Okay.
And so he just opens his mouth and just dumps the fresh organs and entrails and blood in.
Okay, that's a little less horrible than having to feed the faces in his torso.
It's only less horrible because we don't have to do it, I think.
Yeah.
I think for anyone else observing, it would be just as horrible, if not more.
Probably worse.
What are you doing? We're opening the top of his sack. Oh, what's that smell? We opened the top of his sack.
Alright, so all right, we've established well-rounded and interesting characters.
Yeah, right now we are headed back to town after slaying the dragon that was plaguing the town.
What is the Chris, town?
Yeah.
This town needs a name. Can't be anything that sounds too much like Gorg.
Let's see. How about Nettleburg?
Nettleburg?
Nettleburg.
Well, there are a lot of trees. It makes me think there are a lot of pine needle trees
it's
around.
There's a pine forest.
So it's kind of cold and northern.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've been trekking north, I guess, through the winter.
How about the town of Nettle?
Nettle? Okay.
Nettle. I think it sounds more mid fantasy land medieval.
Okay.
Or, yeah. Nettle.
So I guess logging community been terrorized by a dragon burning down the forest.
Dragon would be bad for business in a logging community.
Destroying their livelihood.
Well, dragon would be bad for business in any community.
Except
the city of Dragonville.
And apparently Gorg, where they hunt and ate them every year.
Well, Gorg was up in the mountains where the dragons lived.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Besides, I have a feeling that
I wonder
only
what a dragon was doing all the way out here in Nettle.
I have a feeling that only the most badass people lived in and visited Gorg.
Yeah.
Because you'd have to be to participate in a dragon slaying and chili cook-off contest.
Well, the dragon slaying a chili cook-off competition, I feel, was, like, for the family, too.
Yeah.
You know, you'd slay the dragons, and everyone could watch from the stands. Maybe they'd have some of their wizards set up, like, long-view spells, so you could stand far away and still see what's going on.
I think it's for the family, but some of the, like, six-year-old girls could probably kill the three of us without breaking a sweat.
Well, not the three of us. Us, not the characters.
Literal
uses. Yeah.
Yes.
Not Anvilbar, the fallen lord of souls and conqueror of death.
And certainly not Anathema the Wicked.
Definitely not Mitch.
No. Which means that Mitch is constructed from some pretty bad customers.
Yes. Yes, he is.
I assume a lot of your cult made it in there, too, since probably quite a few of them died.
I would say some of them.
Parts of them.
Maybe Dave was a cultist of mine.
I think so.
All right. So we just slayed this dragon, and we're headed back toward the town of Nettle. Chris, you want to do our first scene?
All right.
Since you started the descriptions?
Sure. Why not? Which is this? The taking the dice or the giving the dice? No, that's...
You establish a resolve.
Yeah. Right. If you establish...
I'm going to establish, right. So, let's say... we're coming back into town. I'm riding on my horse.
I thought I was pulling you in an ox cart.
No, I think the ox cart is pulling the dead dragon.
I think the dead dragon is tied to the ox cart, and the ox cart is filled with all the gold.
Yeah.
From the dragon's lair. Dragons love treasure.
True. So how do we get the dragon?
It's tied to the ox cart.
Oh, and we're just dragging it?
Yeah. Or maybe it's on top of all the gold. Parts of it. Not the whole thing. The meatiest bits.
You
know what? Let's say we butchered the dragon and just brought back his meat and his head to prove it.
And the fire sack. Because you want to make the chili.
Yeah.
The meat. All the important parts.
Right.
Okay. So I'm riding up on my horse. Let's say...
dragon fillets! Get your dragon fillets!
You're pulling the cart full of gold and meaty dragon deliciousness. And, I don't know, Ryan,
I picture you
have a horse too, right?
Well,
I make you ride around on a donkey.
I was going to say I'm probably in some kind of a demeaning position. I was thinking, I always have leg irons on, so I can't get too far away, because you don't trust me at all.
That might be more of a pain in the ass, though, than anything.
That's true.
I think you're magically bound to him, like this
okay.
is some sort of
so I ritualistic. there's like a force field up that I can't cross,
right? Or you can't get more than
60 paces.
Once you get far enough away, your limbs start to get heavy, and you have trouble breathing, and you just fall asleep.
Okay.
Or something.
All right. We'll just say that I am riding on a donkey. I'm dressed probably in like a plain cloak, Obviously, not the attire of my former glory days, but I'm
not a burlap sack.
No, it's not a burlap sack stuffed with heads.
And other things.
And other heads.
Probably mostly heads.
At all.
It's like Mortal Kombat, of just heads and rib cages.
And thighs.
Yeah.
All right, so maybe this starts with us pulling up to the front, the gate of the town, and asking to be let in with our dragon.
Okay,
So the town, so the watchman is standing atop the gate and sees us coming and calls out to you. Henzabar! Have you succeeded?
Fool, you ask Henzelbar if he succeeded? I am Henzelbar, the fallen Lord of Souls.
Yeah, we know who you are. Did you kill the dragon?
Do you not see its corpse?
It looks like steak.
You're an awful watchman.
I shall go let the town know. He hops down. Henzelbar has slain the dragon. You hear cheering erupt from inside the town as the gates fly open. Gates open.
All right.
I feel like Mitch makes a wet flop every time. Like he steps, and then there's like a as his.
It sounds like you got mud in your shoes.
Yes, except it's not mud.
Anathema.
Who's the lord of this town, do we think? We should probably name him. I'm assuming there's some sort of lord or something. I think lord is usually the right word.
How about mayor, maybe?
Yeah.
Mayor?
If it was a manor.
Well, I'm picturing kind of like a walled town.
It wouldn't really have a lord if it wasn't like its own kingdom.
Unless it was somebody's fief.
True. Yeah, it could be a lord.
I've been reading a lot of Game of Thrones. Lord is the word that comes to mind. But
Lord Edwardson?
Doesn't have to be. Lord Edwardson?
Okay.
Where is Lord Edwardson? He's promised us a reward. And I'll have it.
I'll give him a reward. Says Godanza.
Oh.
Doganza.
Okay, the slut.
Yep, that's why I went like this. Which doesn't really translate into the audio on the microphone.
Anathema shudders.
No one's wanted a reward from you since you lost your important toll.
What are you talking about? This is my best one. You sure seem to love it.
I'll have enough of that. That's enough of that.
Sire, because you insist that she calls you sire.
I do.
Or master?
Master. I like master.
Master. Master.
Yes.
Must you have these conversations with the wench?
What's the matter, dearie? Jealous?
Maybe we should show so her mouth shut as well. Although, she was right about me enjoying the whole.
You just did last night.
Oh. You've never wondered why she's the only one without teeth? I love disturbing you.
Lucas looks over. You think that's bad? You're not right next to her.
Poor Lucas gets teabagged. Oh, wow.
What is that hitting my forehead over and over?
Oh! Oh my god.
Like this just went way too far.
Yeah, this is just went way too far.
Yeah, alright, let's stop talking to the whore.
Listen, Master, our creditors are not too far behind us, and as I recall from our last encounter, we do owe quite a bit of money, so we should do our best to get a substantial reward from Lord Edwardson. I mean, Mitch does handle himself well, and God knows I can...
I'll ask you not to open your mouth if you're going to tell me things I already know. Of course I'm going to get the most substantial reward possible. Do you think I don't see our creditors following us? Do you think I was going to accept a subpar reward for killing a dragon that would have had all these men and women killed if we hadn't showed up? No. They owe us everything they have. But I'll settle for letting... I'll settle if they let us host a chili cook-off here. Shut up. We've sewn your mouth shut for a reason.
Lucas, what did
Mitch
say?
There's more than enough gold from the dragon off those lousy creditors.
I'm sorry.
Ernesto thinks that hosting another chili cook-off is not the best idea. He's also flipping you off right now, for what it's worth.
Well, good thing his hands aren't where we can see them.
Yeah.
No, they're not.
All right, so I suppose at this point the lord of the Nettle Manor, I guess we'll call it Nettle Manor,
okay,
since he's a lord, appears in the town square riding his prized Clydesdale.
Chris, what was your thing?
My thing? What thing?
On the back of that car.
Location from the past, got them all killed, adventure, right. Master defeated foe.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Lord Edwardson is dressed in the finest silks, you know, he's very, very well coiffed, and he has a very neatly manicured goatee.
Doesn't do much dragon slaying himself.
No. What he does do is collect as much of the profits from the logging business as he can through taxes, and cheat the people of this town out of as much of what they earn as he is legally allowed to, which, you know, is quite a lot.
Yep.
Considering he makes the laws.
Right.
What's his name? Edmondson.
Edwardson.
Edwardson. Right.
Edwardson.
So Edwardson rides up.
The king's brother-in-law.
Yes, the king's brother-in-law. Hanselbar! There you are!
As ever.
I understand you've brought me the dragon's head.
Can you not plainly see it? Behind Mitch?
Mitch. Drops the handles from the ox cart and steps out of the way.
The huge dragon head seems to be roaring, even in death. And Edwardson sort of jumps back and he goes, "My, it is a fearsome beast."
A mere babe.
Well, it was terrorizing the people of my village.
And it terrorizes you no more. For which, I believe, a substantial reward was promised.
Yes, I do believe I recall offering a reward to slay the dragon. Let me call my steward. Oh, steward!
A small man wearing a brown robe, carrying a book, and runs over. Yes, sire!
Yes. What was authorized from the treasury to be paid out to the slayers of the dread beast?
Yes. He flips through the pages. From the treasury. 10,000 gold pieces.
I'm going to say that's nowhere near what you were looking for.
What? Trifling.
Oh, okay, no, but 500 gold pieces.
A trifling.
500 gold pieces. Well, I shall have my steward pay you out immediately.
You shall have your steward pay me at least three times that amount.
I'm not a negotiating man usually, but you did slay the dread beast. Steward!
Yes, sire.
If we double the taxes
mm-hmm.
For the next quarter, How much can we possibly spare, given all of my typical expenditures?
Double the taxes next quarter. Given your expenditures, doubling the taxes will net us a profit of negative 300 gold pieces.
Ah, yes. I will pay you 200 gold pieces for slaying the dragon.
For 200 gold pieces, I will bring the dragon back to life.
Edwardson leans over to the steward. Can he do that?
I don't know, sire.
Hanselbar taps his staff on the ground twice and points it at the dragon. Its eyes snap open and it puffs out a little bit of fire out of its severed head.
Anathema rolls her eyes. Show off.
Parlor trick.
Parlor trick.
Sire! Yes, steward! You do have the money set aside for the chili cook-off. Perhaps we could cancel the event and give it to Hanselbar.
Pray tell, did you say chili cook-off?
Oh, why yes. Yes, we did.
Yes, there's a 10,000 gold piece prize for the winner. Whoever makes the best chili in the land wins.
Well, when is this chili cook-off?
It's tomorrow.
Seems to me no one would be able to make better chili than me with dragon meat at my hand. The contest is all but decided. Give me your 200 gold, and I'll take your 10,000 tomorrow in the chili contest.
Ah, very well. We've worked out a splendid arrangement. Steward, give the man his 200 gold.
The steward pulls out a pouch and hands you 200 gold
just
pieces.
Throw me a pouch.
He tosses you a pouch.
I count it, bite one of the pieces. Next time there is a dragon troubling you, I will help it.
Sire, perhaps we should extend them the courtesy of a free night in the inn while they prepare for the contest tomorrow.
Very well. You know what? I am feeling rather generous today. You might as well waive the
trend. Is this what you call generosity? Forget your flea-ridden inns. I'll sleep in my tents. They're more comfortable and roomier. And
well,
I'll be able to start making my chili unseen from prying eyes. Good day.
Yes, of course.
Of course I had to.
Mitch picks up the ox cart, slowly spins it around, it just starts following Hanselbar out.
The lord leans over to his steward. I was going to waive the transient tax, but you might as well collect it.
Yes, sire.
250 gold pieces.
When they return tomorrow, sire.
Very good. Very good. Goodbye, Hanselbar. Enjoy your stay in Nettle. And he runs on. And
by the way, I think we should make the contrast clear. Your horse, thoroughbred. Mine looked dead because it was once.
There are just parts where it's scraped clear to the bleached bone.
I think it is just a skeleton with a saddle. A horse skeleton with a saddle.
I think there's bits of flesh hanging off of it.
Oh,
and
okay.
I think when I ride fast, the flesh comes behind it like streamers.
Oh,
old
God.
Musty leather.
That's awful.
All right.
All right, so
we'd best get a move on, I think.
So you're sleeping in your tents, I guess?
Yes. I think they probably really are roomier and better than the inn.
Probably. Something like the magical tent from Harry Potter.
It's bigger on the inside.
Yeah,
it's
bigger on the inside.
Oh, I think this one's plenty bigger on the outside.
Oh, okay.
It's what's the word? Ostentatious.
Okay.
That's the word
I want.
Right,
now you gotta give your die away.
Oh, right. It's Ryan.
All right, thank you.
To the left.
All right. I am going to establish. Okay, it's later on that night. Anathema has snuck away. Well, no, she can't. She can't rightly sneak away. Maybe she's arranged it so that she's someone is meeting her under a cloaking spell directly outside of Hanselbar's tent. She's meeting.
You know what?
Figured out a loophole. Like, you cut off a lock of Hanselbar's hair, and that's enough to let you, you know, walk around for like an hour or something.
All right.
Or maybe I can give you, I give you my leave to walk further away, but the spell still doesn't allow you
to leave town.
To plot against me or plan me, or, you know, try and harm me. You know, stuff like that.
Okay.
If you try to hire someone to kill me, your tongue will lock up, or rather your jaw. Jaw's locked, not tongue.
What if I try to hire someone to beat you in a chili cook-off so that your angry creditors can kill you?
I would think you probably couldn't speak against me.
Okay.
Well, I think she's bound to serve you. Yeah, that would be a tricky one. I think the way the spell would work is that it's at your discretion. Like, when you're with her, you obviously, like, you have control over her. So, like, if you're with her, she can't, and since you're always with her, she can't speak out against you. But maybe because she figured out a loophole, like, she cuts off a lock of your hair, and that gives her, like, an hour.
I do like that. I cut off a lock of his hair, and I can just...
And so that's
the other,
like,
loophole could be, if she can't speak against me, she could certainly write things.
That's the other. So maybe normally she couldn't, but because it's only like a lock of your hair, the spell isn't as strong. Like the prohibitions against her aren't as strong, so she can't directly speak out against you, but she could write it down. Nothing so strong as kill him, but beat him in a chili cook-off.
Yeah.
I do like that, cutting a lock of his hair too.
That is pretty good.
I was gonna say I was bald before, but now I need hair, or it's beard hair.
Any hair.
Beard hair.
Beard hair. You won't miss an inch or two off the old.
Yeah, I probably have like a little pointy thing.
Oh, I was picturing like a big
pointy
long
thing.
Wizard beard. You are a wizard after all. They're always rocking the big long beards.
Yeah. Yeah.
You won't miss a few inches of your whiskers. All right.
I think maybe I have a big scar across my face, too. That would be cool. Scars are cool.
In that case, Anathema is meeting one of her cultists, the only cultist that stayed loyal to her. The particularly dim-witted Neil.
Spelled K-N-E-E-L.
Uh-huh. Because that's what he does in her presence. He worships her like a goddess. Which is incredibly annoying to her because he's always very loud and boisterous about it in public.
Maybe you brought Mitch with you.
Okay. How about this? I have a deal with Mitch because I can release Mitch from the spell.
Wait, here's the loophole. Part of me is in Mitch.
Oh,
so
there
Mitch
you go.
Goes,
okay, so
I'm
Mitch
still
goes.
With you.
There you go.
All right.
But it's not but it's a weaker version,
right,
because it's
right.
There you go.
All right. So we wander into the local tavern. Neil is
everyone goes silent as Mitch walks in.
The tavern keeper
accidentally rips off the tavern door.
the tavern keeper coughs and points to a sign that says "No necromancy."
Mitch walks over and rips it off the wall.
The tavern keeper goes, "All right, have a seat."
Have a seat. Mitch takes two.
And they still creak and bend.
Oh, God, where is that idiot?
Your Grace!
Oh.
Your Grace! You grace me with your presence! Thank you for showing up!
Neil, get up! Get up off the floor!
If you insist!
Okay.
Dave looks... Neil?
Yes, Dave. Hello.
What are you doing here?
Whatever our goddess requires.
Goddess. Oh, man, you crack me up.
Dave, Neil is going to help us.
Oh, yes, I kneel down when you say my name.
Oh. For the sake of the Lord of Spiders, get on your feet.
Yes, Your Grace.
Okay. Now,
Neil is averting his eyes.
Neil, for all intents and purposes, you are the most vile, the most useless worm that I've ever encountered in my trials, in my travels.
Thank you, Your Grace.
But in this situation, you have one redeeming quality, and that is that before you decided to devote yourself to the dark arts...
He was the one that beat.
Yes. He was a master chef.
Who beat Edzavar.
Who beat Edzavar in the 30-second.
And he's the only one who did it without dragon meat.
Because he's so good.
Yep.
He is a wizard in the kitchen, but as a wizard, he sucks.
Maybe he doesn't know it, but his mastery is Chili Mancy.
Chili Mancy. I like it. That's that. I don't know.
Neil, yeah. The Chillimancer.
The Chillimancer. If you secretly, if you gave him a pot of chili, he could destroy the world.
But he doesn't.
But
know
we don't tell him this.
And he's never been smart enough to try and find.
No,
Grace, it has been many years since I last made chili.
I trust that your skills are still sharp.
You made some good shit, Neil. That's Dave.
That is true. I have yearned to cook more chili.
Well, you shall, my servant, tomorrow in the chili-eating contest.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Your Grace, tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
I don't have the dragon peppers. They're exceedingly rare.
Dave goes, I know where to find some.
Good. So here's the plan. Tomorrow, kneel here.
Yes, sir. Yes, yes, he kneels down.
Very well.
Thank
kneel,
you.
Kneel here.
I already am.
We'll defeat Hanselbar in
okay,
the chili
cook-off. When you say kneel here, I move over to the point.
The point where you're having to be just...
Kneel here.
Oh, sorry, I'll move up a bit.
She pauses for a second.
Is this better, Your Grace?
Mitch goes...
Her eyes flash white, and she says, yes. Neil...
I live only to serve you.
...will defeat Hanselbar in the Nettle Chili Cook-Off. Hanselbar will be a ruined man.
Oh, he's not gonna like that!
He'll leave the town impoverished, and eventually his creditors will catch up. I've taken steps to ensure that they know exactly where he'll be. They know he's competing. And after he loses, they'll demand the incredible sum of money that he owes them. And when he can't afford...
I want the creditors to show up at the end now, and I owe them like 50 gold pieces or something. With an army, they show up.
Not even, like 50 silver pieces.
50 silver pieces. Wait. You got all this together? Over 50 silver pieces? And then Anathema just goes, well, I may have added a few zeros. Magically.
And throw them on gold piece. Keep the change. Alright, sorry.
Alright. They'll demand that he pay the money that he owes them. He'll be unable. And all of his property, including the two of us, will be legally stripped from him. You have something to say, Mitch?
Oh, he likes that.
All right. Then after we're both free, I can break the spell that keeps you bound together as a golem, and you can all finally go to the nine hells in peace, or whatever it is you want to do. And I'll be free of his insufferable control.
I like how there are nine hells.
Mitch nods.
Neil kneels.
I feel like anathema laughs maniacally.
she starts laughing maniacally, and the bar wench comes over and goes, "I'll just come back for your drink order." All right.
I'd say give it away.
Yeah. We've been passing it to the left, so Akos.
Crap.
You get the white guy.
I feel like Mitch is not going to end well. This is not going to end well for Mitch.
Mitch becomes immortal.
Well, I sort of got this. I had this feeling that Mitch wants to be free and wants to kill the both of you, but he doesn't want to die anymore. He wants to be like a poet or something.
Okay.
I like poet. You've got the necromancer slash chili chef and the golem slash poet.
The horrible flesh golem slash poet.
He you know, no, not poet. He wants to be a troubadour. He's got a lute that he secretly plays.
And all his different faces sing in chorus.
Mm-hmm. Wait. How about a harp?
Yes. Maybe he just wants to be an artist. All sorts of artists.
Or maybe you just jam a bunch of music instruments into your sack and all the random hands in there just play which instrument they're best at.
Or I can make hands pop out to just all hold the instruments and play.
And play.
You're like an entire orchestra.
You're a one-man band.
All right. But,
Mitch, the one-man golem.
The one-man golem band.
That's it. The one-man golem.
So I guess I will establish. We've set the evil plan in motion, so perhaps it should be the next morning. Anathema and Mitch are back at the tent, and Hanselbar is just waking up. Excuse me. And he wants to go into town to buy ingredients to start preparing his chili. Excuse me. He's already got his... He's telling Anathema to guard the dragon meat.
Anathema, warm my bath water, and then pour it over me.
Very well, master.
Hanselbar strips naked. It's disgusting.
Mitch just stands there watching.
He's very bony.
Anathema puts her hands in the bath water, and it instantly boils. And she... it boils and froths over, and then she dials it back a bit.
Pour the boiling water over me, and I just go, a little cool today.
Yeah.
You see bits of my flesh melting off. Toning it down today, are you?
Well, after
I usually like two layers of flesh to melt away.
I do so hate looking at the third layer of your flesh, though, Master.
We are short on clippings for Mitch. You will need some more flesh soon. Perhaps we'll have to take it from you, then.
Chum!
See? He hungers.
Very well, sire.
Hanselbar puts his robe back on. Much to everyone's pleasure.
Much to everyone's...
relief,
eternal relief, yeah.
Lucas, the head on Mitch, goes, I think there are probably some deer around here. Maybe we could just go and kill one and Mitch could stock up that way.
Very well. But first, to town. I must buy the ingredients for my chili. I thought that's what we were supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
So I suppose we go to town.
All right, so yeah, we walk to town.
Okay.
Everyone on the street stops and goes quiet. And yeah,
see, I think this is the part where all of the vendors and merchants in town see Mitch coming and instantly close up shop.
Well, I figure that since this is the big chili cook-off, ever since Gorg was destroyed a few years ago, Nettle has sort of become the hub for the chili cook-off.
They don't do the dragon slaying because they're not as badass. But.
Right, but they do the chili cook-off. And they, you know, so people come from all over. So I have a feeling, like, it's still early in the morning, so some of the vendors are, like, setting up stands and everything. But I feel like everyone is just, as Mitch walks by, everyone just stops whatever it is they're doing and stares in horror.
I think a lot of people throw up as well. Those who didn't see you yesterday.
Quite a few.
And what happened to that guy that's going to ask us for 250 gold?
Ryan, do you want to be the tax collector?
Oh, the steward? Well, you were the steward.
Oh, right. Well, I don't think the steward... I think there'd be someone at the gate to collect the tax.
Okay, so let's backpedal a bit, and we get to the gate.
All right.
On your gate for Hanzelbar, your champion, slayer of your dragon, master of the Lord of Souls, conqueror of death, and he who was robbed of the gold medal at the 32nd annual dragon slaying and chili cook-off of Grog.
Anathema rolls her eyes and goes, yada, 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 yada.
It's the guy at the top of the watchtower goes, love to! You just have to pay the tax!
Open the gate.
I need 250 gold pieces first.
That man's hair catches fire.
You see him fall away from the gate, and the second later, a thud as he hits the ground.
Anyone else up there?
No.
Open the gate before I blow it off its hinges.
The gate opens. There's a body of the guy laying on the ground, the top of his head charred.
Anesma, feed that to... what the hell's your name again?
Mitch.
Feed that to Mitch. Let the townsfolk watch.
Very well, master. May I have your hatchet so that I can dismember it? Mitch, are you hungry enough? All right. But remember, take small bites. I don't want to have to go fishing around in there.
I've misplaced my hatchet. Here. He takes out a long ceremonial knife. I think they're called Chris's, the curvy blade ones. K-R-I-S.
Yeah, I think.
Sure.
Heck him with this. I think the blade glows, like... But glow is the wrong word because it's dark. It just sucks in light.
Yeah. Well, anyway, if it's a ceremonial blade, Anathema probably knows enough magic that it'll
cut through
flesh like a hot knife through butter.
Yeah.
And she makes quick work of the guard's burned corpse and starts tossing the body parts.
Catches the pieces. And he doesn't have a mouth that opens up. The top of his head just flaps back. And he just stuffs the pieces down into him.
I think he, like, rips. Does he, like...
No, I think it just magically, like, his head just rolls back. And there's just an opening where his neck is. And he just pushes the body parts in.
All right.
There's screams from inside when the head opens.
And like a dull red light.
Yeah.
All better, Mitch?
Yeah.
Very good.
Mitch burps.
And the femur comes out.
There's a small child sitting in the road, just sort of staring in horror at this.
Hanzelbar picks up the femur and gives it to the child. Blood golem's femurs are good luck.
Mitch looks over at the child.
The child reaches over, his hand shaking, and takes the femur, and then runs the hell away.
Alright, so I guess we go to town and buy supplies.
I'd say that would probably be the end of your scene, which had ended well for you because you got fed.
I did get fed.
I think Hanselbar is completely different when he's buying food. Ooh, how much for this one? Oh, let me taste it. Let me taste it.
That can be your scene. I'm going to give that one to Chris.
Alright.
Bless you.
Thank you. And perhaps this scene could be me buying ingredients.
Bless you.
Stop it. No more sneezes.
Since you didn't want to stay, I suggested the inn because I thought it would give us a good way to do stuff during the first act. So now we got to stretch this out. It's all right.
I don't know what kind of interesting stuff would have happened at the inn, though.
What kind of interesting stuff would have happened with a necromancer, his slave wizard, and a giant flesh golem?
At the inn? I don't know. I'm sure Ed could make a play out of it.
So a wizard, his slave, and a flesh golem walk into a bar.
That actually happened. Oh, no, I wasn't there.
No.
all right.
All right, so we're buying
the first vendor... You know, sees you coming and goes, "Oh, good afternoon, sir. Good morning, sir. How am I? Oh my goodness! What is that?
It's Mitch."
Who said that?
Mitch.
Oh my!
I'm Dagonza, dear. Pleasure to meet you.
Don't speak to the heads. They won't shut up if you encourage them.
I feel like Mitch is carrying the basket for the groceries.
It's just a little basket, too. Oh.
Every customer that this man was, you know, just had at his cart is now completely cleared off.
Hanselbar doesn't notice.
Hanselbar doesn't care. There's a difference.
How may I be of service, sir? I will do anything to help you as quickly as possible.
Well... I'll see your beans, your freshest vegetables. You have onions?
Yes, beans over here, onions, the finest bulbs.
The finest?
Ever seen. Top
Hanselbar
quality.
Hanselbar inspects an onion. Certainly not the finest. But I suppose it'll make do for this motley crowd anyway. Starts putting a few... vegetables.
Mitch just holds out the basket.
Throws you a sack of beans or something. Yeah, beans. Maybe a little bit of rice, too. I don't think that's usually in chili, but Hanselbar is going to.
You
can put rice in chili.
Right, good, then that's what Hanselbar does.
Really, you serve the chili over the rice.
The thing that you really need, though, is peppers.
Well, yes. Well, I thought the spice was coming from the dragon.
Well, it doesn't mean... Dude, you can't have, like, add flavorful peppers.
Yeah.
Indeed. And peppers, sir?
Oh, yes, peppers. Over here. Oh, we've got everything. We've got...
Everything?
Bell...
Do you have dragon pepper?
Actually, sir, we ran out of dragon peppers this morning. I actually did have three of them. But a young gentleman came up and
you sold them?
I sold them.
The day of the chili cook-off? To who? You'll tell me.
I believe he said his name was... Neil.
Neil. Neil?
You have one of those moments. Where do I know that? And then there's a flash, and you just see the 32nd annual Grog Chili Cook-Off... You know, you're sitting there with your pot of chili and your apron, and you're waiting for them to call your name.
Ooh, I have an apron.
you're waiting there with a smile on your face for them to call your name as the gold medalist, and instead they call Neil.
Short man, short of stature and of wit.
Bucktooth. He was a little slow on the uptake. I'm going to say this ends badly for you because you found out that you're competing against the man you lost to.
And he bought all of your dragon pepper.
They're exceedingly rare, sir, and I only had three.
Where did he go?
I believe he's staying at the inn.
Give me the rest of your peppers. All of them.
The cart is over there.
Mitch, put the basket in the cart and take the cart.
Mitch walks over, gently puts the basket down, and then just lifts the cart over his head.
Return to camp. I am going to the inn.
Mitch starts marching off to the camp.
That'll be, ten gold, sir.
Hanselbar takes his staff, the one with the skull on top, with the ruby eyes and the ram.
On second thought,
puts it into your face and the eyes start glowing. How much?
Congratulations, sir. You're our 100th customer. You get the special discount. Free. It's free. It's completely free.
I thought so.
I thought Hanselbar was a completely different person when he shops.
He's not completely different. He's back to his old self when he finds out that the person he's shopping from sold the one thing that he could lose to the one person that could beat him.
Mitch slowly marches back to camp, holding the giant cart of peppers over his head.
This time you can have it.
No, fuck you.
Aw, poor Mitch.
I had this image before when I mentioned the deer of him going into the woods to find the deer to kill, and instead just sitting there like Snow White, just like petting the deer. Just like gently petting the deer, and then snapping its neck and shoving it down his gullet.
Oh, I could still do that at some point.
Yeah.
Brian?
Brian's turn.
All right. In that case, what can I do?
Well, you and Chris are looking for Neil.
Wait, you were back at the camp, right?
No, I think she came back.
Yeah, I would have to come, as otherwise...
Yeah, she can't go away from you.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay, so you were with me. I guess we're going to the inn.
So you would want to stop him from actually finding Neil.
Yeah. Okay. So how about this? You are storming off toward the inn, you know, in a rage, looking for, I'll establish, you storm off toward the inn in a rage, looking for Neil. You know, you want to search every nook and cranny for him, and you know, I happen to catch sight of him in the bar, at the bar, in the tavern. And, you know, I see him, you don't. And well,
so Hanselbar stormed off to the inn and screaming at the innkeep. And you have enough space, rather, enough leeway to slip away to the tavern without triggering my protective spells while I'm distracted trying to figure out where Neil has gone to.
Right. Well, I mean, the tavern is usually downstairs from the inn.
Yeah. Or I figured, like, next door.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I would have had to go into the inn, rather the tavern, to talk to the innkeeper.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, Alex, do you want to be the innkeeper?
Sure. What do you want?
I guess I'll be... Oh, right. The innkeeper. Yeah. So I'll be Hanselbar.
For this part, anyway.
Neil.
Yes, sir!
So glad you did that.
The innkeeper deals.
No. Not... I'm looking for a boy named Neil.
Oh, yes. Neil. Oh, God.
Short in stature and of wits. Blonde of hair.
Yes, I saw him. Yes, I did, yes.
Where?
Oh, God. Yes.
you, the, Anathema is, standing directly behind him. And when she sees that the innkeep is about to tell Hanselbar, her eyes flash white, and her hair stands on end, and she just goes...
Wait, you still got the ceremonial dagger. Yeah. Your eyes turn red, and you take the dagger, and you point at him, and you bring the dagger across your throat.
I don't know where.
You don't know where you were when you saw him.
I don't know where he... He has so many people. Come to the inn, oh, please don't.
Your shoe catches fire.
He puts it out. Look, please, I don't know where he is.
I didn't ask you where he is. I asked you where he was when you saw him.
He stayed here last night. I don't know where he is now.
Anathema conjures a smoky image of you holding your own internal organs.
Oh, God, no, please don't. No.
Hanselbar is a little confused as to why you're so scared of him, because he thinks he's toning it down quite a bit. Although he's pleased that he can instill so much fear still.
Oh God, please no.
You, what is your name?
Ferdinand.
What?
Ferdinand.
Well, Ferdinand. I am Hanselbar the Fallen, Lord of Souls, Conqueror of Death, who was robbed of the gold medal in Grog's 32nd annual chili cooking and dragon slaying cook-off.
The second time today he's introduced himself.
And I will know when you see Neil. If I do not, I will burn down the other half of your inn. And then he turns around and walks out. And parts of the inn just start catching fire. Chairs.
Your
desk.
Before Anathema turns around and walks out after him, you know, after he's gone, she says, "If you tell him where to find Neil, I will burn down the other half of your soul." And then your eyes glow with an inner fire, and it feels like your very essence is... burning away from you.
The innkeeper falls to the ground screaming as people start rushing in with buckets of water to put out the random fires.
People from upstairs start rushing out because their rooms were on fire. Yes. I figure it was just every other room. Just...
Yeah.
Alright.
I guess that ended well for you.
Yeah, that did end pretty well for me.
He didn't find Neil.
I think Chris should get this one.
Yeah.
Alright. Last one before the tilts.
Excuse me a minute. I'm going to use the bathroom.
Okay.
I'm going to establish... I think I'm just going to have a little aside scene for Mitch. Mitch goes back to camp, sets down the peppers, and is just standing there waiting for Anathema and Hanselbar to get back. And a squirrel runs by. And Mitch sticks his giant hand down, and the squirrel runs up his arm. And Mitch just slowly pets it and befriends the squirrel. And stands there for a few minutes with the squirrel. And then crushes it in his hand and shoves it down his gullet.
All right. I feel like let's add some drama to this. Why don't we have... I can be one or two of your faces.
Okay.
And I'll talk to you. Oh, Mitch, darling. What'd you have to go and do that for?
Tasty.
Oh, but it was such a cute little thing.
It was cute. But tasty.
Usually you love adorable small animals.
I know. I'm just in such an off mood today.
Oh, it's this whole plan, isn't it?
It's the chili cook-off. I remember what happened the last time he competed in a chili cook-off.
Oh, I know, dearie, I know. Believe me, I can see it through 100 different eyes.
Me too. Dave.
Yeah?
How's that ballad coming?
Oh.
This is a conversation between the different faces.
Yes. You want to join in and be some of the faces?
Yeah. Which...
I'm apparently Daganza and Dave. You can be... We haven't heard much from Silvestri.
That's right. Well, Silvestri's been passed out drunk.
Right.
I'll be Silvestri, and what's the one with the mouth that's so enclosed?
Ernesto.
Ernesto. I'll be him. And Silvestri.
The ballad is coming along nicely. Daganza told me that if she still had legs, they'd be spread.
Oh. Wow. Nice job. That's not too much of a compliment coming from her.
I think Silvestri belches and wakes himself up at this point. Who's there? What's going on?
We're just chatting while the idiots are away, Silvestri.
Yeah. You got any wine?
No. Let me ask you. You haven't had a body in years. How are you still drunk?
Liquor is just... I got nowhere to go. It's just sloshing around in my head still. I don't have a digestive tract.
Yeah.
Not attached to my face anymore, anyway.
Good point.
Yeah. You know, come to think of it, it's been a long time since we've had any livers in here, because he spoils them all.
That's true. Well, I did just get you a fresh one.
That one was a bit charred.
Sorry. I do what I can, but they just feed me scraps.
Okay. This is the best bottle of wine I ever bought, because it's lasted... How long have we been this thing?
10 years.
It's lasted 10 years!
Oh, but dearie, you really should just... get away from them, and I think that this plan is a good thing, because it'll get you, it'll allow you to do what you want to do. You and Dave can write the songs and we'll sing them.
Wait, how am I getting away? We're all attached.
You really think it'll work, Daganza?
Oh, I know it will, lovey.
Ernesto, what do you think? Well, this is an internal monologue. I think you can actually talk.
The best shot we've had in a while.
Yeah. Alright. So once the stupid bitch kills that dumb fuck, we can just go. I don't want her to kill us. We could take our act on the road. Mitch and the gang.
I like it. You know what? Why don't we have ourselves a song right now?
You know what? That's a good idea, Gaganza. Why don't we practice? And just then, Hanselbar and Anathema come stomping back into the camp. He sees them, just goes... all of Mitch's faces look a little sad. Yeah.
We kill your dreams.
That's the end.
No wonder you hate us so much.
Yep.
All right.
Or better yet, I think they come back and Mitch is about to start singing and Hanselbar just goes, "Mitch, stop jerking around and get over here." Says something really insulting.
Get that stupid look off your faces and get over here.
Oh. All of his faces look crestfallen and he walks over.
Yeah.
All right. Guess Ryan and I are probably going to do the kill.
Not necessarily. Yep.
No.
Oh, I tied Ryan.
9 white.
All right. Should we re-roll?
Yes. No. You won that one.
6 black.
All right. What happens? We re-roll those.
Yeah. I'll just keep these guys back here. Alright, you should really roll 3 of these, so...
That's fine. It's random, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You didn't cheat.
Alright, here's the tilt.
Oh, 2 sixes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 6.
1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 6.
1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 6. This is a good one so far.
Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun with this one.
I'm glad I could stay out a little later. I'm sorry, Chris. This is a good one.
This is a good one.
I feel like the entirety of the second act almost should be the chili cook-off.
Yes. Yes, definitely. We've come up with so many good characters, too.
I know.
I love Mitch and all his heads.
The giant flesh golem with dreams of being a troubadour.
Fucking five-part harmony sung by the disembodied heads in his torso.
As hands sprout from the sack and play different instruments.
I'd pay to see it.
But every once in a while, he has to murder someone or go grave robbing to refresh his body parts.
I'm going to go with innocence here.
Okay.
I feel innocence. Like if something precious is on fire, doesn't make it into there. This is a horrible use of a dragon One, sack. Two,
I think that something precious on fire shouldn't be put in there, precisely because everything's probably going to be on fire pretty soon anyway.
Hey, you know what? Fair enough.
Hmm.
Yep, see, what are the trophies on here? Dragon's Flame Sack.
Nice.
There you go.
Massive pile of gold coins. Ooh, we still have the mystery potion, Ryan.
Yeah, we do.
Maybe you're good. Maybe you could use that because you think it's going
to I was going to say, maybe he adds it to the chili. He doesn't know what it does.
The secret ingredient.
What? What is that?
Mitch found it.
Mitch, right. What is it?
I have to agree with you. We're taking a 6 here. Failure.
All right. So I'm gonna pick the more specific part of failure, and you can pick the more specific part of innocence.
Mm-hmm.
What do we have left? 1, 2, 4, 6.
1, 2, 4, 6. Same as before.
Something precious is on fire. Like I said, that seems almost like a waste of it because something precious is definitely going to be on fire.
Well, not necessarily something precious, but lots of things.
It could be the dragon peppers are on fire, or the dragon meat is on fire.
Or the dragon peppers light things on fire.
Uh-huh. Or the chili contest judges.
Or all of nettle.
Stupid plan.
I feel like it should be cyclical, like somehow the entirety of nettle burns down. At another chili cook-off.
I think that was probably where we were going.
Only this time it's Chris's battle with Neil.
All right, yeah, you know what? Wait, let me see what we got for guilt. Because...
Failure.
There's failure and innocence.
Innocence, thank you. So I was going to use that something precious is on fire. A neighbor wanders into the situation. Yeah, that's not even good. All right, I will do something precious
Well, what,
on
what
fire.
Are the options? I'm just curious.
One is a stupid plan executed to perfection.
Yeah.
Which is probably going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
Two, something precious and fire, so probably going to happen anyway. Four, a good plan comes unraveled. I don't think we have any good plans.
No.
And six, fear leads to a fateful decision.
Something precious is on fire.
Yeah, I don't think any of our characters are the type to get scared.
No, not really.
No.
So, something precious is on fire.
Right. I think the only fear here is that you're afraid of losing
to Neil. Oh, that's a wild card now, though, right?
No, not for this.
Oh. One, yeah. 4,
because there's
six.
Extra.
Oh, okay.
So what are the options, then?
One, somebody is not so innocent after all.
None of us are
Four,
innocent.
Collateral damage. And six, a well-meaning stranger intervenes. I'm going to go with one. And I'm going to say that Neil has been playing all of us.
Okay. I was going to say collateral damage. But that's pretty much a given, too.
Yeah,
I was kind of hoping you were going to pick someone who's not so innocent in after all, and it would be Mitch.
Or one of Mitch's heads.
Yeah, that's true. It should be one of Mitch's heads,
Dave.
Probably. Or maybe the drunk one.
Sylvester von Strusselgruber? Sasselgruber.
Well, I think it should be Neil.
I like that idea, too, though.
Which one was Neil?
The one who's making the chili against you.
Yeah, Neil.
Oh, right.
Neil is fighting you, but he's been so subservient and worshipful to me, you know.
Ooh. Neil has been voted the new leader of the group, and he has to sacrifice you in order for
That's,
him to become an immortal.
He's
leech.
Doing the same thing that I did at this chili cook-off. He's doing the same thing that I did at the last chili cook-off. That motherfucker.
mother!
That's awesome.
That motherfucker! Oh my god!
And he was really nervous when he saw you here.
He's brought you in because you were the most powerful. You had all that power from before. Definitely needs you.
Right.
He needs to sacrifice you
so that he can become the
immortal lich.
And the fact that the wizard that defeated you in his golem also showed up.
Well, maybe
icing on the cake.
Maybe now he's thinking that if he defeats you, maybe it's sort of a meta, like not necessarily like a defeat in battle, but he has to defeat Chris. And the only way he could defeat Chris is in the chili cook-off. He could never defeat Chris in a fight, but in a chili cook-off.
Right.
He's already done it.
Yeah, well, but it wasn't part of a ritual then.
Well, he is an arch chili mancer.
So maybe he actually discovered his power.
And he's going to summon a fucking army of chili golems. He's going to kill all of us.
He's going
to
cook the chili, crack the final pepper over it, and the chili's going to suck the souls of everyone in the town into the chili.
No, everyone who eats it. It's a chili cook-off. Everyone's going to try it.
It sucks the souls into the chili, and then he eats the chili and gains their souls.
Right, well, everyone who eats the chili becomes part of the chili. Like, there's like, ooh, this is really good, and their soul gets sucked into the big pot. And it's magic, so it's a never-ending pot of chili. So once he has all the souls, all he has to do then is eat some of the chili, and the ritual will be complete.
That makes sense. Okay, sure.
He
gets
chili
the soul
mancer,
of everyone who ate his chili when he finally takes... Well, right. He gets to taste it, and then he breaks the pepper into it, or whatever, one of the dragon peppers.
Or no, he has to, say something over it.
Sure, and I think the pepper, too.
Well, I think three dragon peppers is a key ingredient for the spell.
Right.
Chili mancer.
There's probably one pepper in the chili.
Right.
One he breaks into it when it's set and, you know, now all the souls start collecting the souls. And then when he's done, he breaks the other chili pepper. I assume it's breaks. I don't know why. Chilies don't usually. But
I have a feeling. I feel like dragon peppers are, like, huge.
Probably.
Like, the size of a Nerf football. Well,
see, the thing I was thinking about
bigger.
Peppers is... The smaller they are, the more potent they are.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Which is why I was thinking
of
tiny peppers.
But I just feel like dragon peppers should be big, but also incredibly spicy.
Or
maybe dragon peppers are so rare because they only grow in places where dragon blood has been spilled. Say
it's a giant pepper,
and only the
and
the
instead
very...
of seeds, it's got tiny little peppers.
Right.
Those are the dragon.
And those
peppers.
Are the dragon peppers. So really, it's this big, huge thing, and inside it are three little peppers.
Like, the big thing isn't spicy at all.
No.
I would say you've got three big things filled with, like, little... Instead of, like, where most peppers would have seeds, it's got smaller peppers.
Like habanero size.
Right.
Or, like, pea-sized
peppers. Yeah, I would say, like, extremely tiny.
I think, like, pea-sized, so you can actually
see them.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when you crack this pepper open, that's it's called the dragon pepper, I guess.
Right,
but
you cut the top off, scrape the little peppers out, and...
That's the dragon pepper, but it's the inside part that's actually...
The important part,
right.
Yes.
Maybe he throws one hole in just for flavor.
He probably cuts it in half and throws it in.
Yeah. He isn't.
And then one at the start of the spell, one when the spell's done, and then he eats the chili and it's complete.
Right.
Oh my god.
We're putting so much thought into his chili mats.
Yeah.
It's important.
He has chili magic. You have to fucking deal with it. I have to say, Alex, so that was a brilliant idea. He's pulling the same thing at this chili cook-off.
Thank you.
That was...
I feel like this is a story waiting to be written.
Yes. Yes, it is.
I wasn't sure, but I thought innocence was the right choice, and now I'm glad I did it.
Yes.
I looked at the other ones and I'm like, these are all what would be expected. It needs to be different.
Okay. So, Chris.
Oh, it's me?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see.
Establish a resolve.
I just got back to the tent.
Well, this could be a little while later.
It could be a little while later. That's just the last thing that happened.
Right.
Well, we've established that the chili cook-off is today, so...
I mean, it was still early morning.
Right.
Right.
So if we want to fast forward to, say, like, noonish, everyone's in town cooking their chilies now.
Yeah. So the chili's been simmering for a while. Or cooking, or whatever.
Like, it's still maybe a few hours until the actual, like, judging.
Right, well, you know, you put all the stuff in and then you simmer it for
right,
a while.
Right, well, yeah, but you have to cook it there.
Right, yes.
Like, I'm just picturing, a rows of people with big cast iron pots, fires flaming underneath, and then cooking giant vats of chili.
Niels probably has some runes carved into the side of his mouth. other magical symbols.
And I have a fire lit with bones instead of wood.
They're not burning. The fire is just coming from the bones.
Right.
It's also black.
So I feel like maybe this should be the first real, you know, like, meeting that
Chris and
Hanselbar, Ed, and Neil have. You know, is when they... Maybe Neil comes up to Hanselbar and... or, Chris, we should have asked, are you establishing or resolving? Because before we establish a scene, we should give you the chance to say...
I kind of like where you're going with this, so I'll resolve.
Okay.
Yoink!
All right.
Kind of wanted another white guy.
So I think you know, Neil should come over. Or maybe Hanselbar walks over to Neil.
Yeah.
But part of the official rules of the chili cook-off are that you can't interfere with anyone's chili.
Right.
Or kill any of the other contestants, otherwise you're disqualified.
Because that has happened.
Yes. So you can be, I guess you'll be Hanselbar?
I guess I'll, yeah.
Right, you want to be Neil?
Sure, I'll be Neil. So, you're sitting there, you know, stirring your vat of chili and sort of leering at Neil.
With my stick with the skull on it.
It's your wand / chili stick.
Yes.
I have this
walking stick as well.
It's you have like the skull end in, stirring around, you pull it out and just lick the skull.
I kind of thought the skull end might be out, this way every once in a while it could puff out a little bit of fire and the eyes can glow.
That's even better.
Neil comes swaggering over and he goes, Hanselbar, I thought that was you.
Neil, I knew that was you.
How have you been? It's been, what,
11 years.
Yes, 10 years.
Mitch is just standing there holding the basket of ingredients.
Oh, man, you know, you were the stiffest competition that I ever had. I was a little worried there at the 32nd Grog Chili Cook-Off.
Well, you should be more than a little worried today. I am the only one with dragon meat.
Ooh, dragon meat, yeah, well, that does help. I mean, I know the judges here, I've competed here the last 3 years running, and they do love themselves some spicy chili. That's why I went and got myself the last 3 dragon peppers in town.
Of course it was you that got those dragon peppers. And if it wasn't against the rules, I'd have killed you for them.
One of the judges walks over, just sort of, you know, he's carrying a little book with a sheet of paper.
Walks over to him.
Smells good. It's no fighting, you two.
The best.
Well, we'll see about that.
Your shoe catches fire.
Oh, God! Whew! Must have been standing too close.
You weren't.
Neil, really looking forward to yours.
Thank you, Bob. You do love my chili every year.
Oh, you know it. He walks away and starts looking at some of the other chilies.
I have an idea, but it requires another character.
What?
Alex, do you want to come by with, like, a crowd of spectators as, like, an announcer, you know?
Okay.
And be like, oh, and here we have 2 competitors who have fought each other in the past, notorious rivals.
So, All right, folks, if you'll step on down this way, we're almost done with our little tour. Here in historic Nettle is where we hold our annual chili cook-off. Now, it's sort of new to the Nettle area. The chili cook-off used to be held in a town called Grog, a few miles north in the mountains. It would be a chili cook-off / dragon slaying competition. Very fierce competition. Unfortunately, no one knows exactly what happened, but about 10 years ago, the entire town was destroyed during their last chili cook-off. So we picked up the mantle and... Oh, look, over here, to your left...
No one knows exactly what happened, and then your shoe catches fire. People know what happened. The entire town is in your presence, fool.
Yes. Well, over here, we have the...
Are they in the practice of letting the fool give tours?
Beg your pardon?
You're not the village fool.
No.
Then is it that man over there, pleasuring himself?
Yes.
Ah. I would have put my money on you.
Hey, thank you, sir. But standing next to this fine gentleman is Neil, the reigning champion of the Nettle Chili Cook-Off. Neil, could you...
Enzelbar spits at Neil's feet when he's introduced, and a little bit of flame comes up.
Neil jumps back. Pleasure to meet you, folks. I hope you all come by and try some of my chili this afternoon.
Neil, tell us your secret. Come on.
Okay. Well...
The dragon pepper, you fools. His secret is the dragon pepper.
Ooh.
Well, I do add about an extra quarter cup of paprika, but it's the dragon peppers.
Okay, folks. Well, you got it here first.
Behind everyone's back, when you say that, a little bit more paprika goes in.
Mitch is already holding the paprika out for you when you turn around. All right, folks. If you'll keep going this way, we'll look at some of our other competition. And then we'll continue down to historic Town Square, where the Nettle Charter was signed over 100 years ago. The group slowly walks away.
On your right, you'll see the charred remains of our inn.
Half of our inn burned down this morning. No one's quite sure what happened. The innkeeper had suddenly died of a heart attack as well.
All right, so how does this end well for Chris?
I think it ends well because he got to insult people.
Okay.
It doesn't end badly for Chris.
And you learned Neil's secret.
I learned a little more paprika.
Yep. Yeah. You learned Neil's secret. He accidentally let it slip.
I feel like when the judges judge Chris's chili later, they should say too much paprika.
I'm detecting a little bit of an off flavor
they
in
should
this.
Say you would have
too much paprika.
Too much paprika.
You would have won if not for that overpowering taste of paprika.
All right.
So I'm gonna
the
say
full dragon erupts from the pot of chili and just burns the town down.
Okay, I'm going to establish, and I'm going to say that
I'm going to have two flesh golems by the end.
I'm going to say this is the scene where Anathema goes to run over the she meets up with Neil to go over, you know, the details of his recipe to make sure that he's going to win, to cinch it.
Right.
You know, she's going to, like, give Neil some details maybe about what Hanselbar is doing, since she can't really speak against him, but she
right.
can, you know, she can let slip a couple of his secrets.
You can't speak against him, but you can praise his chili and all the clever things he's put into it.
I can.
It's so amazing the way he uses four onions instead of just three.
The way he cuts his dragon meat on the bias so that it comes right apart after just a little bit of braising.
And the way he throws in some dragon skin for half the simmering and then pulls it out before he serves it.
Adds so much flavor. So anyway, she goes up to Neil to...
Oh, dragon chili.
Yeah. She goes up to Neil to, let slip a couple of Hanselbar secrets. And this is the scene where she finds out what Neil is really planning.
All right, so Chris, you'll be Neil?
I'll be Neil. What's your character's name again? Anathema?
Anathema.
Anathema, okay.
So she wanders over to Neil's cauldron, I guess. And says to you,
he's muttering over his cauldron and stirring.
Huh, that incantation's new. I've never heard that one before.
Mistress.
I don't know. I feel like by this point Neil would have dropped with the pretense.
Yeah, he's probably because now he's in his element. You know,
he'd probably just call her Anathema.
Yeah, all right. I was going to say, you know, put it out as long as he can, that keep him tricked.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
He wouldn't want, not want to tell the person he's planning to kill that, oh, by the way, I don't worship you like a god.
In fact, I'm just going to kill you.
Or maybe you don't even let it slip. Maybe it's just something that she recognizes. That runic pattern looks very familiar.
Yeah.
Where have I seen that before? Oh, fuck. Oh, shit. Shit on a shingle. All right, so, yeah, she... she
woke up. Neil. Oh, not right now, Your Grace. I'm busy preparing the chili like you'd like.
Hmm. Well, you've become awfully absorbed in your cooking.
It's very important. You commanded that I defeat him in the tournament, and I am contest, and I'm very much planning to please you.
Well, I certainly am very thankful to hear that. Oh, well, I have to say, you do have some mighty stiff competition here. Hanselbar has really outdone himself in this year's competition. You know,
Hanselbar's been thinking about it for 12 years.
His chili is really superior grade. He's developed a special combination of spices, garlic and chili powder,
and a little too much paprika, probably.
Yes, he did add an inordinate amount of paprika.
Yes, I thought he might.
Anyway, Neil, are you getting this? Are you getting this? Because I'm
getting what?
I'm
busy.
I'm just singing the praises of my master's wonderful chili, with its dragon meat sliced on the bias, so that with just a bit of braising, it comes right off the bone, and
maybe you should do more praising of my chili, perhaps to the judges.
Speaking of which, Bob walks by again. Ooh, Neil, looking good.
Now, Bob, you know, no tasting until it's ready.
Oh, all right,
You were about to. You try.
I can't keep myself away. It's so good. Yeah, and he looks down. Is this a new pot, Neil? I don't remember these carvings from last year.
Yes, a new pot.
Ooh.
Needed a slightly bigger one. Demand was high.
Ah, well, for you, I imagine it would be. Let me know when you're done. I want to be the first to try it.
I promise you, you will be the first to try my chili.
All right. Bob walks away. Walks over to the guy right next to you, looks over. Just keeps going.
I would like if Bob said the exact same thing to him.
The guy.
No, I think it's Bob already is going to vote for you.
Yeah, one of either. Maybe he hasn't made up his mind yet between Hanselbar and.
I think Bob doesn't know who Hanselbar is.
I would say okay. Bob is probably planning on voting for.
That's right, because Hanselbar just lit his shoes on fire. Right.
Well, he doesn't know that. He just knows his shoes caught fire. I think Bob is very eager to try Hanselbar's chili, and he knows that he's a stiff competition, but he likes Neil, so he wants Neil to win.
Well, see, what I was thinking, what I was doing Bob before, was that Bob was just being polite in front of Neil. He really doesn't care about anyone else here besides Neil. I mean, he will have to try it, and he will probably like Hanselbar's when he does, but as far as Bob knows now, Neil won.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Right, okay.
I'd say it's a foregone conclusion in his mind. He's a little... It's like, maybe this new guy might have something second place.
He
might
be second place material.
He might be second place material.
Yeah.
especially with that dragon meat. It's been a while since you've had some.
Yeah.
So, yeah, at this point, Anethma is sort of taking a second look at this pot. She's like, Is that an onyx cauldron?
I'm not sure what kind of cauldron it is. I like I said, just needed a bigger cauldron. Huh. This was the biggest one they had.
And those runes you carved into it, they look very elaborate.
They came carved into it.
So familiar. Where have I seen those before. And then we flash back to the 33rd annual, where Anathema is standing over an onyx altar.
Annual. No, 33rd.
33rd. Oh, right.
Because okay, that's the time when everything
right.
went to hell.
I'm wrong.
Where Anathema is standing over an onyx altar with the same runes carved into it and, you know, chanting eldritch spells, you know, trying to harvest the souls of everyone in this town, and then it comes back to the present. It's the deification rite.
I think when you say that, well, maybe this shouldn't happen, but perhaps Neil should just turn around and slash your throat with a dagger. Doesn't have to kill you.
I don't know. I think that's a little too much right now.
Well, yeah.
Or maybe
it's just like that. He got caught. And now he has to do something.
maybe just incapacitate me somehow.
I think
you're a very powerful sorceress, and having your head cut off might not kill you.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, what's the worst? I mean, Anathema can't kill Neil because it's against her master's wishes.
Right, because it would make him lose. He would lose the competition.
And even if she went back and told Hanselbar, he can't kill Neil
because
then he'll lose the competition. So really,
so for Hanselbar, this has just become about winning the competition and then the secondary goal of
stopping
Neil from slaughtering everyone in town.
So now Hanselbar has to win so that his chili beats Neil and Neil can complete the ritual.
Ooh, you need the gold medal for it to work?
Maybe you need the gold. Maybe they don't try the chili,
yeah.
Like give it to everyone until after the judges have tasted it.
Right.
So if you're not the winner, you're not going to get as many people trying your chili.
I liked the idea that Chris had before. Neil has to defeat him. He has to best him
right.
in a contest somehow in order to gain
yeah.
his power. You know, it's just like a really weird kind of.
Well, the same way that Hanselbar defeated you,
right.
and you became his servant. Now, Hanselbar doesn't know it, but now he's in a magical duel with Neil.
Right.
Since Neil's using Chilimancy. So
I like this.
So Neil knows that he has to defeat Hanselbar, so that Hanselbar will be magically locked to him, and then Neil could sacrifice him without a problem. Both of you.
Right. Oh.
Okay, and if I beat him in the contest.
So if you beat Hanselbar, if Neil beats Hanselbar, Hanselbar becomes Neil's servant, along with Anathema.
Oh, and then he can force me to eat the chili.
Right. Well,
right.
He could force, and he could just, like, kill you.
Right. He has control.
Well, he would want me to eat the chili first.
Right. Then he could force you to eat the chili.
And then kill me.
But if Hanselbar wins, then you become his servant. And then Neil becomes his servant.
Right.
Because Hanselbar doesn't realize it, but he's locked in a magical duel with Neil now.
And Neil is the greatest chili mage ever. It's
probably
it's,
also the only chili
yes.
mage ever.
Well, it's a natural gift that he has.
Yeah. I'd say there's probably a few more. I don't think it's common practice.
he's the first chili mancer in centuries.
Yes. Chilimancy has died out decades ago. As far as everyone else knew,
he's the first naturally born chilimancer. Usually, you have to be trained in the arts of chilimancy, but he was just born with this gift. It's the first time in centuries, so no one expects a chilimancer. Everyone thinks chilimancy has died out. This sounds so ridiculous to be saying.
Everyone thinks he's a dumb, but it's just because he spends all his free time rewriting the old elder chilimancy scrolls that are springing to him in dreams.
Yes. Okay.
All right, where were we?
Anyway.
We keep getting sidetracked with the chilimancy.
Yeah, yeah, we put way too much thought into the mechanics of how the chilimancy works.
I don't think we have. I think we put the proper amount of thought into the mechanics of chilimancy.
All right, so this ends badly for me. So here's what I think should happen. How about you whisper a few words to the chili? and the entire thing lurches out of the pot and wraps itself around me and pulls me in so that only my head is sticking out.
Bless you. Oh, I think just the fact that Neil is doing the spell means it ends badly for you.
Okay, that's fine.
So, I mean, like I said, you could go run back and tell Hanselbar, but it's not really going to make a difference. Yeah,
you kind of realize that your plans have come for nothing, bless you. Because if Neil wins, you'll just be his slave now.
And right, and he's going to sacrifice me so that he can become a lich.
Right.
And if Hanselbar wins, I have to be...
stuck where you are.
Right.
So, best case scenario is... Best case scenario is exactly what you were trying to put an end to.
Right.
Yeah, that ended badly for you.
Yeah, that ended pretty badly, yeah. All right, so let's just finish
this
off.
Maybe you should just have run away after you realized, and Neil just kind of snickers. Candy bar.
Neil just goes...
Alex.
Best of luck, my goddess. You're going to need it.
Yeah, best of luck, my goddess. Nope, never mind. Just trying to sound like sinister. It didn't work.
All right, so Mitch is seeing you.
Again.
So I think we'll just pick up right. I'll establish. Mitch is standing there with Hanselbar, holding the ingredients while Hanselbar's cooking his chili. And Anathema runs up to tell him what she just found out.
Hanselbar!
What is it?
It's Neil. He's going to perform the ritual.
Which ritual?
Listen to me, you fool! The same ritual that you stopped me from performing at the 33rd annual Grog Chili Cook-Off. He's cooking his chili in an onyx cauldron, and he's transcribed all the runes.
Dave on Mitch's chest perks up. Yeah, Neil's a chilimancer.
You knew this the whole time and you didn't say anything?
Oh, I thought you knew. Everyone in the group did. Why do you think his chili was so good?
Anathema.
Neil and Anathema catch fire a little bit.
What?
Neil on his chest.
Dave.
Who's Neil? Oh, Neil.
Neil is...
Dave and Anathema catch fire a little bit.
Mitch goes...
Maybe Anathema's hair, I guess.
She completely ignores it. Listen, you fool!
I have a feeling that's something Anathema does by herself sometimes.
When she tries to say you fool, it comes out friendly old man. Listen, you friendly old man!
I'm not old.
He's taken the runes from the deification ritual, and he's transcribed them to instead of flesh perished at the claws of a dragon, it now reads souls harvested with the bowls of chili.
Speak plainly.
What she's saying is that anyone who eats his chili, their soul becomes part of his ritual.
He's planning to do the same thing that I was doing.
That means that you're locked in a magical duel with him. He's using chilimancy.
If you don't win this chili...
Hanselbar catches fire. All over. It's like the Human Torch. And he screams and fire blows up into the air in a huge column.
One of the judges walks over. Hey! Knock it out! Knock it off! Or you'll be disqualified. That's better.
You don't want me to be disqualified. Your very soul hangs in the balance. And
no,
I
don't want
defender.
Anyone to be disqualified. But if I see any more of those shenanigans, I won't be afraid to knock you out of the competition.
Hanselbar, threatening the judges is grounds for disqualification.
Now, you're going to behave?
Of course.
Number 23?
I'm going to behave.
That's what I want to hear. Now, get back to cooking chili. The judge walks up. It's not Bob, it's a different judge.
When the contest is over, kill him.
I love love that Hazelbar has to play nice.
Yes. You have to win this contest. Otherwise, he's going to sacrifice everyone in this town and become an immortal lich.
I have to win this contest for my pride. Don't you have your priorities straight?
Actually, darling, you have to win this contest for the gold. Remember? To pay off your creditors?
There are a variety of reasons why I have to win this contest. First and foremost being my pride.
I think you should list them. First and foremost being my pride. A very close second being to stop Neil.
And third, a distant third, is the money for my creditors. And fourth, because my chili really is the best. Come on, guys.
It's okay.
Lucas just goes, it is pretty good.
It's better than pretty good.
Listen, I was over there talking to Neil, and he told me that he tricked you into adding extra paprika.
Doesn't put extra paprika?
I don't think he does, no.
Hazelbar tastes his chili frantically.
Ah! It's all paprika! It's all I can taste, though! Okay, well, there's gotta be something we can do.
What's the bottle I put in?
Concentrated paprika.
Dave chirps up. Hey, there's something in this basket. Mitch, give him the thing. Mitch reaches in and just pulls out a bottle that's just labeled potion.
Mitch, we don't even know what that is. That potion's been sitting around in that bag for the past 10 years.
Which potion have you two been hiding from me for 10 years, my loyal servants?
We never knew what it did. We saw no reason to tell you about it.
It just says potion.
Give it to me. Pulls the cork out and smells it.
Whew. Anti-paprika?
I think we'll figure out later what it does.
Okay.
He pours the whole thing in. That's the end of the scene.
Okay. Did that end well for you or badly for you?
Who made the scene? Alex?
Alex. Yeah. I would say that ended well, because you got to help.
It didn't end bad.
Yeah, it didn't end badly. You got to help.
All right, Chris. Last go around.
Things could go very well for Hazelbar if I decide to just let you guys establish the scene and take the last white die.
It'll go very well in this scene. Oh, but then you'll have 4 white dice.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then Ryan would have 4 black dice, and then I would have 2 and 2, and fuck you both.
Poor Mitch.
I think that's what I want to do. I like Hazelbar too much for him to die.
So you're going to...
He's going to end well for me.
Okay. Poor Mitch. He's the only good one here. It's going to be horrible.
Yeah. Well, we are battling to save the souls of everyone in this town.
Right.
I mean, we're also battling to save our own souls. So
and for Hazelbar's pride.
And for Hazelbar's
pride.
And
for the prize money.
And a distant third of being the prize money to pay off Hazelbar's creditors.
Right.
All right, so I think maybe now we should actually get down to the judging.
Okay. And since Chris took a white die.
Right, so Bob and the other judge, we'll call him Terry.
Yeah, so Bob
and Terry. I think,
there's got to be 3, because otherwise there could be a tie.
Right.
Bob, Terry, and... Sir Edmondson.
Sir Edmondson, right.
Okay, right.
Come over.
So I think they go to Neil's first, and Neil hands all 3 of them a bowl.
You guys are watching this, you know, you can't really hear what they're saying.
They're so, like, Neil's next to you, maybe, but a little further away.
I'd say the first person that takes a bite of Neil's chili drops the bowl and spoon in shock and awe.
About how
just
delicious
hands
it is.
There with his mouth hanging down, drooling.
That's Terry. Yeah. Bob goes...
Well, maybe it should be Bob, since Bob had already come to the conclusion he was going to win.
No, no, because Bob goes...
Bob is expecting...
And just shovels it all in, and then shoves his face into the pot and slurps up some more chili.
And,
before pulling it out.
Sir Edmondson, takes the first spoonful.
Wait, Sir Edmondson think every single one of them is a little too spicy. They're all just too spicy. Ooh, too spicy for me.
You see him, he sets the bowl down and goes,
what was his little guy was running around?
The steward.
The steward runs over with a goblet of water for him.
And then before the judges move on, they all shake hands with Neil. Neil smiles and cracks some kind of joke that the three of them all just crack up laughing at.
Bob pats him on the back.
And while they're all fawning over them, he's just staring at them with the most disdain possible.
No, he's staring right at Hanselbar.
Oh, right.
He's just staring at Hanselbar.
They will say that there's a couple of chili competitors between them. They try those chilies and aren't really that impressed. They quickly move on.
Yeah,
and
make some scribbles.
Sorry, guys.
All right, we're gonna have to wait for Chris.
Pause.
Your hands are bar.
Yeah.
You're right.
Oh man,
this could be the best fiasco we've ever done.
I think so. This is an amazing game.
Not to toot our own horns for the people who are listening, but this is fantastic.
I am having a lot of fun, and we have this one recorded now.
Yes.
So if we want to turn it into something later, it's on tape.
I feel like we shouldn't post it yet, because then someone could steal it and turn it into something.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, imagine this as another audio drama.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be wonderful.
Or audio commentary. Commentary. Comedy.
Comedy.
Oh, man. Hanselbar, Anathema, and Mitch. And all his heads.
Yeah.
What a great cast. This is so good.
We came up with some good characters. I mean, again, not to toot our own horns, but I am having a lot of fun with this.
Yeah. I'm so glad I don't have to worry about jet setting out of here right away. I think even Chris is okay with staying a little bit later.
To finish this up?
Good.
Well, we have to finish it off.
We're almost there.
Yeah.
Just one more go around.
Still.
Yeah.
All right, so Bob, Terry, and Sir Edmondson, finally make it to Hanselbar's cauldron.
And he blah, blah. Number 23. What have you got for us?
Only the best chili you've ever tasted.
Oh, well, we'll be the judges of that.
Yes. And that's what you'll judge.
You have some stout competition from Neil over there. His chili was a little too spicy for me, but...
Oh, I thought it was delicious, sir. Anyway, hand it over. Give us the bowls. Bob takes a spoon and... Dragon meat?
Of course. This is the one town I've ever been to that I could walk through the streets with a dragon corpse, and yet everyone is surprised that I've killed the dragon, put its meat in my stew.
Bob is speechless.
Terry takes a spoonful. Oh. Oh my.
And Sir Edmonton thinks it's a little too spicy.
Sir Edmonton.
Delicious, delicious, just too spicy.
Steward,
listen,
bring
listen.
Me my goblet. Now piss off.
Yes, sir. Oh, wait a minute, what is the potion?
Just
we have no idea what it was, but it made the chili fucking delicious.
I have an idea.
It was
on backstory. It was a potion created by the last chili mancer. It just makes any chili it's put into the best chili that person's ever tasted.
I was going to say it's, what's that stuff that they don't put in Chinese food?
MSG?
MSG. It's pure MSG.
Liquefied MSG.
MSG.
What is it? Water. Nothing but water and a little bit of LCD. LSD. Sorry, I ruined it. It's Futurama.
It's all right.
Yeah, everybody gets the point.
All right. So the judge is like, this is the best chili I have ever tasted.
The guy in the cauldron next to Handlebars throws down his hat and goes, oh, come on!
The judges stop. They just pull out a gold medal and give it to Handlebar.
Handlebar starts dancing. He sashays over to Neil and starts putting the medal in his face. You lose! You lose! You lose!
Neil says, very well then, Handlebar. Then what I can't have by trickery, I will take by force!
And wait, this ends well for Chris.
let him do what he wants, because
this will be the next scene.
True, yeah.
I think that whatever happens from here, I think he's going to do something, and then the dragon is going to come out of my...
Okay, well, yeah,
let's see what you've got planned.
So I was going to say, you go over to Neil.
Dancing.
Excuse me. You start dancing and waving the medal in his face.
He's holding his staff in your face, and the staff grows a tongue and sticks it out of you.
Which is exceedingly hard to do without a lips.
Mm-hmm. But he does it.
And Neil says that, very well, Handlebar, then what I can't have by trickery, I shall take by force. And the chili in his pot erupts into a 15-foot tall chili golem that lets out a very splotchy, disgusting, squelchy roar, and then starts rampaging through town. Then sweeps the other two judges, except for Sir Edmondson, Lord Edmondson.
Oh, wait, why wouldn't he leave Bob? Oh, because
Bob. No, he takes Bob.
He takes Bob. Well, maybe he takes Sir Edmondson too. Lord Edmondson. The chili golem just reaches down with one enormous chili arm and sweeps them all up and tosses them into its gullet. And at this point, all hell breaks loose.
Handlebar shrugs and just skips away. I got the medal.
what's his face? Neil turns to his creation and says, my creation, destroy that sorceress. Only with her power can I become an immortal lich. And that's when the golem turns on Anathema and starts stomping toward her.
I feel like Ryan just established his scene, too.
Yeah.
Well, I did.
Yeah.
But there's, I mean...
Well, yeah, there's only one way.
Yeah, there's only one way this can end for me. So I'd say, maybe that's how the scene ends, at least. The chili golem stomps toward me, lifts me up. I'm, powerless to do anything against it because I have no idea what the hell,
right.
What the hell to do about chili mancy.
All right, there you go.
And it engulfs me.
All right, well...
So Anathema has...
I am going to establish a scene for Mitch. Mitch, being the secretly kind-hearted soul that he is, rips off his burlap sack and finally stands up straight to his full 15-foot fleshy disgustingness and starts fighting the chili golem. So in the middle of the town...
The horrified crowd looks on, getting spattered with chili and blood and organs.
Yep. As...
Half of the stuff written down always tastes really good. I'm kind of disappointed I ate the other stuff, though.
The two golems duke it out in the middle of the town, and Mitch's different heads yell encouragement as he's fighting.
You give him a left hook!
You should punch the one on the left.
Hit him in the balls! Hit him in the balls!
The chili golem has dragon pepper testicles.
Yes. And I think Mitch slowly whittles the chili golem down.
Mitch, what's taking so long? I want to go to the next town.
Mitch reaches over and grabs the chili mancy pot and chucks it at Hanselbar. But Hanselbar gets out of the way somehow.
I think Hanselbar just goes like that, and it stops and falls in front of him.
Well, I was going to say it doesn't hit him, but breaks.
I was going to say, how about this? You throw up your hand, it stops, and then it rockets over toward Neil.
Okay. Yes.
Even better. And
Neil gets fucking creamed by the pot.
And then catches fire.
And then catches fire.
I've been doing that to everyone.
And then the chili golem just falls into a pile of chili. And Anathema is just there, coughing and gasping, covered in chili.
Well, get back in your sack.
No. Wild card die.
Oh, you're right.
Well, I don't get to decide, though. One of you has to decide if it's...
Yeah, I would say that Mitch deserves to go out on a high note before he
before
meets his ultimate fate.
Something horrible happens?
Yes.
No! Mitch! Free!
That's right! You tell him enough!
Troubadour!
Troubadour! Let's show him, dearie!
Hanselbar falls over laughing.
How about this? I want this to end with like a beautiful song. You know,
yes, absolutely. And yes. Mitch sings, and even Hanselbar is awed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mitch takes out his lute and starts strumming, and as the faces begin to sing,
he cuts the threads on Ernesto. So that Ernesto can sing, too.
Yes, and wait.
Ernesto's trying to sing but can't, and Hanselbar, moved by the beauty, slices it off for him so that he can sing.
And once the song's done, Mitch, troubadour.
Very well. Mitch is a troubadour.
Troubadour?
Troubadour.
Troubadour. I said it right the first time. But Mitch is still coming with me.
No!
We'll go around the country, singing songs and winning chili contests.
All told, Mitch, it's not exactly a bad arrangement.
Plus, you'll get promoted over the one that got eaten by the other golem.
Mitch walks over, grabs the ox cart that he always has to drag around, and drops it in front of Anathema.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
Paul!
You heard your new boss.
And see.
All right.
Wait, what were you going to say, Ryan?
No, I was going to say she barely is able to lift it, you know, like an inch off the ground. And she goes so painfully slowly that you guys basically
I would think Anathema has got some dark stores of power somewhere.
That she could reach.
That she could just, like, make it float along or something.
All right.
Oh, for the love of fuck.
Uh-oh.
Poor Mitch. Oh.
I feel like maybe we should forget the dice.
Because I rolled three whites.
Because I feel like you know, that's the denouement that the story needed. It's over. It's pretty much the same arrangement. I feel like Anathema deserved to, you know, to get stuck in the same shit situation.
A slightly worse situation.
Yeah, slightly worse now, because now the horrible flesh golem is her boss. You know.
If we think about it, without rolling the dice, I had all white dice, I had the best ending. You had all dark dice, you had the worst ending, you had half and half. Your ending's a little better than Ryan's, not as good as mine. Middle.
Well, I mean, you got what you wanted. You get to be a troubadour.
Right. But I still am a slave to Hannibal. Right. But
now I let you sing.
Yeah.
And I gave you a promotion.
You did.
Also, I think Hanselbar gets to carry Neil as a new follower as well.
Yes.
So maybe Neil has to carry the cart.
If he survived.
Oh, he survived.
Hanselbar can bring it back to life.
Yeah.
That's right.
Ooh, and now you can use Neil to make even better chili. He's a chili mancer.
He's a chili mancer that is now your thrall.
At my disposal, I had to learn all of his secrets.
Yep, he is in your thrall. So now you are the world's most powerful chili mancer / necromancer.
/ pyromancer.
And I think you've amended your title to winner of the nettle chili cook-off. 10th annual chili cook-off.
Or the final nettle cook-off.
Yeah, they decided never to do it again.
I think the town just got burnt down.
Probably. It ended up.
It got destroyed during the golem fight.
And honestly, whatever didn't, the handlebar burned down.
There was one building left standing.
Oh, you know what? Handlebar's creditors caught up to him. And he sold them the town. what was that, Lord Edmonton?
Lord Edmonton. Yeah.
Edmonton, he just threw him at his feet. Town's yours.
I like it.
I like it, too.
Why does Hanselbar have creditors?
I don't know, but doesn't I like matter. It.
Well, I mean, I feel like he's the kind of character who would, because after he fell from his, you know, from his lofty height of being a hero, he probably wandered around being depressed for a while, you know, I don't know, maybe gambling or drinking or doing whatever.
And, you know, without any gold, and enough people liked him that they'd lend it to him.
Right.
Right. But then everyone hated him.
And hence they started following him around, demanding his money, their money back.
Yeah. Right. Okay, well, that wraps our fiasco session up.
Very happy that none of the characters died.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
All right, goodbye.
Well, that's not true. Lots of people died.
Lots of people died, but none of the main characters.
True.
All right, well, good night, everybody.